7 o'clock. Thanks for joining us. Jim and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Yesterday was a day, wasn't it? Nuggets.
Why? What happened?
Nothing really. Nothing happened. No. Except new uniforms for the Broncos. We'll get your reaction to that pile today that you had a chance to look at them. We spent a lot of time talking about it. Don't know if it made for the best of radio necessarily.
Right. It's content.
But, you know, when you're talking about something you're looking at, and I've seen a variety of reactions on the socials and the interwebs
media
about
landscape.
It. Yeah. And a lot of negative.
Yesterday was a typical, you're not going to make everybody happy.
Yeah.
Dang. So don't bother to make anybody happy. That's how I go about it.
Yeah. I think they look okay. There's ones I like more than others in the whole thing. But of course, yesterday, among the stories, and we'll dive into it more and around the NFL, Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
People are losing their mind yesterday.
Pump it into my veins. Oh, sorry.
Yesterday, some of the stuff I saw, it was like, you swear to God, they sent them a first round pick for Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
They sent them a 6th round pick, people, and they're picking up the majority of his salary, the Jets are. Calm the hell down.
I'm waiting.
Jeez.
Because I know we're going to get it at some point. I'm waiting for the 8 straight losing or missing the playoffs is fine. 5 wins is fine. Giving up 70 points as grown-ups and professionals is fine. Zach Wilson, though, I'm burning my jersey. I'm waiting for one of those. Because you know there's somebody out there that is doing the performance fan hate. I'm going to burn my jerseys. And then when they start to play well, oh, that jersey didn't get a char on it. Surprisingly.
Yeah, what do you know?
Huh. How did that work? It's almost like you were performance outraged. Interesting.
Yeah,
Before people come at me, yes, I know, the drive in 1964 and the whole thing, all fans are performance outraged. It's not
to a degree, everybody has that in their fan toolbox.
Because we also get that, too. Like, hey, you got Zach Wilson. Yeah, he's drive. All right. Okay.
But just getting down to the basics of the deal.
Mm-hmm.
He's a former first-round pick. And, yeah, okay, he's not been great in New York. Get that. Understand. Right. Totally understand that. And the other stuff that's gone on involving him, people like to make fun of, and he brought that on himself.
His affinity for friends of the family.
For friends of the family.
Yeah.
Older ladies.
Ladies of the certain age.
All I care is, can he quarterback? He hasn't committed a crime. I don't.
Yet. Oh, sorry.
Well.
Mike was on. My bad.
All of us have.
That's true. That's fair and applicable, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, come on. Let's just be honest about it. Do I love Zach Wilson and think it's the greatest deal? It's going to be solve the Broncos quarterback problem? No. You've got to look for answers, though. Do you not? To solve problems?
Yeah.
You have a quarterback problem. Now, here's the thing that I will have a problem with. They don't draft a quarterback. If they decide, we're good with Stidham. Wilson was a first rounder.
He's still young. Quarterback of the future, Zach Wilson. Franchise QB, the FQB.
Settle down, champ. No. You still go draft a quarterback. You still go get a guy. I think you have to be measured in how you do that. Do you trade PS2? Which we keep hearing that there's no price too high to pay to get a quarterback. I think there comes a point you have to be realistic about it, and you can't start sacrificing young talent, guys that are hard to replace, like Patrick Surtain II would be.
Yeah.
I think that's dumb. You've also trotted him out for the video with Randy Kratochvil, and he was there yesterday talking about the new uniforms. It's like, why are you doing that then? If you plan on trading him, why are you doing that? Why are you positioning him as now kind of face of the franchise if you're going to trade him? That didn't make a lot of sense to me. I don't have a problem with the Zach Wilson thing. I don't. If they gave up a second-round pick for him, yeah, I'd have a problem with it.
You know, Zach Wilson, same high school as the Wingett brothers.
Oh, really?
Yep, Corner Canyon.
Oh, did not realize that.
Found that out mere seconds ago.
Oh, just by doing a little quick deep dive on Zach Wilson?
A little Google. Well, I went to his PRF page, or PFR page. I'm like, oh, that looks familiar. Where do I know that from? And then I realized.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, yeah, they're all from Draper, Utah.
I don't know. I mean, you have the unique position of being following the Broncos because I tell you you have to.
Yes.
But also, just from the outside looking in, I mean, he's 24. He's already had some NFL experience under his belt. I just think what Denver gave up for him, it's nothing. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. It's not the end of the world. It's not like Denver wasted. They didn't trade a first-round pick for him, for crying in the mud. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. It's a six-round pick. And they're paying for him to be there. The Jets are a good chunk of it.
I am an outside observer on this particular situation, but I am not foreign to this concept of, all right, this guy is the guy.
Well, I'm not saying, and once again, I'm not saying that he's this. You have to find solutions to the problem.
Guy.
He is the next contestant, please.
Is he going to be any worse than Jared Stidham and Ben DiNucci are going to be? Probably not.
No.
Probably not significantly worse. This year is going to be bad.
It's shaping up to be that, yeah.
You might want to just strap in, because you're either going to have Ben DiNucci, Jared Stidham, Zach Wilson, or a rookie with no offensive line in front of him, really. So it's going to be a long year.
Though The Athletic says the Broncos have like a B-minus offensive line because of the veterans. If you read the Athletic piece, they're what, third on the list that the Athletic had in terms of good places for quarterbacks to go to? Because a veteran head coach, they're putting a lot of stock in Sean Payton here, so keep that in mind. And they have the Broncos, I have to find the article again, but they have them like third of best places for quarterbacks to go to right now.
They realize that their veteran coach that they laud doesn't like veteran voices in the locker room, right?
Yeah.
So that's kind of counterproductive for some quarterbacks, I guess. But the Athletic makes their offensive line seem really good, but it's not.
Because they have, okay, the article was ranking the most to least ideal quarterback needy teams. The Vikings first, because got good offensive line. You got Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, TJ Hawkinson.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a dreamland for any quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care who you are. They had the Bears second, A-minus offensive line, B-minus running game, A-minus weapons. Now they got Keenan Allen there, and they got DJ Moore. And they have the Broncos third on the list, which, I don't know, they have Broncos B-minus offensive line, B-minus B running game, C-plus weapons. But A-plus play caller. They gave the Denver defense a B. I forgot they gave
That's
the Denver.
That's all generous. Borderline hilariously generous with B defense, A-plus play caller. Sure. Yeah, when he had Drew Brees. But where were all those play calls? Where were all those long touchdowns? Oh, it was from Russell Wilson. Okay, now you got Zach Wilson.
So
Have fun with that.
Yeah. So we'll talk more about some of the stuff coming up, 8 o'clock hour.
It's going to be a long year. Strap in.
I'm not. I'm, Do you hear me arguing with you on that? No, I'm saying, hey, it's going to be rough, man. That's my
perspective. That's
choppy waters ahead in Broncos country.
It's going to be a rough year.
So if you got some thoughts about the Zach Wilson acquisition, the Bronco uniforms, now that you've had a chance to see them. Also, this happened last night. Nuggets down by 20 in the third. Jamal Murray, 6 points through three. And then Jamal Murray caught fire.
A three would put the Nuggets ahead. Murray to tie. Yes! Got another one. Murray's got to go. Murray. Let's it fly.
All right, I hope Chris Marlowe's going to be okay.
Chris, what's the scream into fade out? Roll credits.
Murray gets a ton of credit, as he should.
Yeah.
The shot over Anthony Davis was incredible. I mean, he ties the game, wins the game.
Yeah, pretty much.
But Nikola Jokic, if Jokic doesn't play the way he did last night, they don't have a chance of winning that game. They don't stick around at all in that game. He kept them somewhat in contact, within shouting distance, the Lakers, the way he played last night. Fair to say that?
100%.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean,
he made Rui Hachimura and Anthony Davis look silly at times last night.
Yeah,
I almost felt bad for him a little bit.
Yeah.
No, I mean, as much as
I feel a little
play the game of basketball and you've tried to defend somebody, I obviously don't feel very bad at all because won the Nuggets, win, love the Nuggets. But just watching them trying to guard him,
mm-hmm.
I mean, those guys look silly.
He almost had a triple-double in the second half.
Yeah.
15-8-8.
Murray's going to get the credit, deservedly so. But Jokic, you've got to give a tip of the hat to what he did last night. Because he gave them a chance to stay in that game and have a chance to win that game.
Yeah, and what did we talk about? That the main two guys are going to get theirs for the Lakers. The only other guy to really contribute any offense was D'Angelo Russell. He got significantly better.
Yeah, he had a decent game last night. He was pretty good last night, actually.
But, again, only 6 points from the bench. 12 points from Hachimura and Reeves. It's not enough.
Not going to get it done.
You're going to need somebody to step up. And I think what this tells people more than anything else is at his peak is not where LeBron's at right now. Like 15 years ago, 10 years ago, LeBron has the dagger in his hand and he's putting teams away and he's just not able to anymore.
The supporting cast where he's at now has to be better.
Yeah.
He's still an incredible player.
Anthony Davis has to start putting teams away at this point. You can't go 8 points in the second half of a game when you're up 20 at one point.
And that's where both those guys, though, as good as they are, mm-hmm. they still, there's got to be somebody else. I mean, as good as Jokic and Murray are, Michael Porter Jr. continues to have impact in games. Aaron Gordon, the play on the baseline, what there was the lob to him, and he has to save it on the baseline. He gets mm-hmm. it back out to Porter to hit the three. The supporting cast, you can have two Hall of Fame locks on your roster, which both these teams do.
Mm-hmm.
But the supporting cast has to be good, though. And the supporting cast of the Lakers just isn't good enough. It wasn't good enough in the Western Conference Finals last year against this team. It's just not good enough.
Yeah. Another thing, and I mentioned it yesterday, and another thing I love to see, there's a zero in the column underneath turnovers for Michael Porter Jr. He was stellar yesterday.
Yeah, he was great in game one.
22-9. He only had one assist. That's fine. Couple steals. Defense was good. Average to good. Wasn't great, but average to good. No turnovers. Nuggets had 9 turnovers as a team. With as much as they moved the ball, they had 26 assists to 9 turnovers. That's a 3-to-1 ratio, my quick math is telling me, almost. That's not bad. That's pretty good. That'll get the job done more often than not. Joker, 27, 20, and 10. That's bring the Despicable Me lunchbox to work day for him.
Exactly.
You're right. Second half, he ate Rui Hachimura alive.
Yeah, he just did. But it also gets back. They
ruined that kid.
But playoff Jamal has to be there, though.
Yes.
As great as and as much as Jokic kept them in the game, gave them a chance.
Mm-hmm.
It comes down to Murray playing the way he does. And his ability to hit big shots, big moments, like he did last night, where it's fantastic you have a player that can struggle. And he struggled in the first half.
Yeah.
Struggled through 3 quarters, basically. He only had 6 points through 3 quarters. And then finishes with 20, but saves the best for last. And then we'll play the Michael Malone clip coming up, some post-Malone, where he talked about, I didn't like the way our demeanor was walking into the locker room at halftime. Didn't like Jamal's demeanor. Didn't like anybody's demeanor. And how he had to kind of go, come on, guys. You know, let's go here. We're up 1-0 in the series. This game is not over.
Yeah, they were Debbie Downers a bit, body language-wise, after the first half.
If you're the Lakers,
you're done.
It's the Bruce Lee, rip your heart out of your chest and show your beating heart while
Roadhouse.
You die.
It's rip the throat out in the lakeside Roadhouse scene, the original Roadhouse.
Yeah, and that's what happened last night.
I don't know how you are able to. I didn't think they were going to win the series. I don't know how you win the series now.
But you know, here's a guy that played a role last night. Colin Gillespie. You know what Colin Gillespie did last night? Really?
No.
Nothing on the floor. Murray sat down next to him on the bench. Murray mm-hmm. was pissed. Pardon my French. He was not playing well. Gillespie was sitting next to him.
Give him a little back rub?
Gillespie goes, you're going to hit the game-winning shot. Not that that's what Jamal Murray, that was the all the fuel.
Yeah.
And then immediately, he just said, you're going to hit the game-winning shot. Simple as that.
And then he turns to the other part of the bench, I hope.
Nuggets were down, but Murray said that what Gillespie said to him stuck with him, though. You know, you think it's almost like a movie, right? Like a sports movie. You're going to go get him, champ.
You're going to get him, buddy.
And Murray was kind of like, okay. He stopped throwing a fit. He was mad. He was angry. He was like, okay. And he's like, how do I get myself back into rhythm mm-hmm. in this game? How do I start impacting the game again? And his first thought was, got to make plays. Got to hit the open man. Got to make plays. And he started dialing back on trying to shoot the ball.
Yeah.
Stopped forcing it. And started getting more guys involved.
I did like Jamal's initial reaction of, who are you? Sorry, that's rude. But is he healthy, Colin Gillespie? Is he just a DNP?
Yeah.
Or has he still got the broken leg?
I'm not sure about his status. I saw him. I saw shots of him after Murray hit the mm-hmm. shot up on the bench.
He wasn't on the roster officially last night.
But he was on. He was there on the bench.
Good for
him. But then he did that for a little bit, and then his teammates started telling him, "Shoot the ball, man! Stop passing. Shoot the ball."
Stop listening to Colin Gillespie. Shoot.
Well, no,
you can't make the game-winning shot without shooting.
He listened to Colin Gillespie ultimately.
That's true. Yeah, that's right.
Because he told him, "You're going to hit the game-winning shot.
You can't make it without shooting." Right. That's. Usually
shoot
first,
or shoot.
First rule.
Shoot or shoot. Exactly. And that's what he did last night.
Yep.
Two huge shots.
You don't score until you score.
That's true. It's very true. Thanks, Captain Obvious. Appreciate that.
I don't know what movie. That's a sports movie. I think it's Major League 2.
Thanks.
Something along those lines.
All right, it's time for...
What's happening?
All right, so we got some thoughts on the Nuggets coming from behind last night. Game 2 tonight, Avalanche mm-hmm. against Winnipeg, which we'll have right here on the team.
From Lovely the Peg.
From the Peg. Also, your reaction to the Broncos' new uniforms and Zach Wilson, now a member of the Denver Broncos. All right, text or call us on the team line, 970-242-1340. So, of course, what's happening brought to you by ComWest, your technology partner. One call, one team, one goal, helping your business grow. ComWest helps business owners grow their business by providing quality, reliable, personalized technology solutions. They support and secure your business technology consistently and professionally. IT services to meet your business needs, PC and server support, business phone system, surveillance, network support, cybersecurity, backup, and disaster recovery. They service the entire Western Slope. Call them today at ComWest, 970-242-8142, or go to comwestcorp.com. Jamal Murray's buzzer beater jumper gave the Nuggets a come-from-behind win last night with the LA Lakers in Game 2 of their Western Conference playoff series in Denver. Murray's shot over Anthony Davis gave the Nuggets a 101-99 win of the Lakers and had 2-0 lead in the series.
Well, I mean, I jumped pretty high. I faded a lot, and I just lost my balance and fell. And I just saw the ball over the rim. I think AD was in my way, or somebody was in my way, and I just heard everybody scream. That's how I know it went in.
Murray had only 6 points to three quarters as Denver trailed by 20 points in the third. He finished with 20 points, and Nikola Jokic leaded the way with a triple-double of 27 points, 20 rebounds, and 10 assists. Anthony Davis paced the Lakers with 32 points and 11 rebounds, with LeBron James adding 26 points and 12 assists. The series moved to L.A. for Game 3 Thursday night. The Team Sports Network will have it starting at 7:30. The Avalanche looked to even up their first-round playoff series as they faced the Jets in Winnipeg tonight. Colorado exploded for 6 goals against the NHL's best goalie, Connor Hellebuyck, but Avs goalie Alexander Georgiev gave up 7 in the loss. Colorado coach Jared Bednar says Georgiev and the rest of the Avs don't have time to focus on the Game 1 loss.
You know, like, that's just what it is. Like, if you're dwelling on the past in the playoffs, then you're not setting yourself up for success in that next night. And Gorgie's no different. He's got to reset and go play better than he did last night.
Pre-game starts at 7 tonight on the Team Sports Network. We will talk with Connor McGahee, radio voice of the Avalanche, coming up at 8:20 this morning from Winnipeg. San Diego pitcher Dylan Cease shut down the Rockies Monday night as Cutterbutter fell to the Padres 3-1 at Coors Field. Cease went 7 innings and gave up just 1 run. On 1 hit with 8 strikeouts, Ryan McMahon sacrificed fly, scored Charlie Blackmon for the Rockies' lone run. Colorado starter Austin Gomber went 5 innings, gave up 1 run on 4 hits with 3 walks and a strikeout to get a no decision. The 5-18 Rockies joined the 1931 Cincinnati Reds as the only teams to trail in each of their first 23 games to start the season. Colorado and San Diego play again tonight at Coors Field. For the first time since 1997, the Denver Broncos have new uniforms. The team unveiled the new look on Monday with a throwback uniform and a helmet from 1977, along with 3 other uniforms. Overall, there are 10 different possible uniform combinations that feature elements of Colorado. The home uniform is an orange jersey with Broncos country stitched into the neckline. The pants and the helmet also have 5280 on them with the nameplate that has lettering that's a nod to park signage in the state. There's also a dark blue jersey and pants uniform with a white Broncos helmet. New uniforms are the only change in Broncos country. According to NFL Network's Ian Rappaport, the Denver Broncos are sending a 6th-round pick to the New York Jets in exchange for quarterback Zach Wilson. New York will send Wilson in a 7th-round pick and will reportedly pick up half his $5.5 million salary. Wilson was the 2nd overall pick out of BYU in 2021. He was supposed to back up Aaron Rodgers last year before his injury. He played in 12 games, completing just over 60% of his passes, 2,271 yards, 8 touchdowns, and 7 interceptions. The RMAC Player of the Year, Trevor Baskin, has made the decision to use his final year of eligibility in Boulder. Trevor Baskin will move on from the Mavericks to play for Coach Tad Boyle and the Buffaloes as a grad transfer. Baskin joined the Jim Davis Show to talk about his departure and said that CU was a good fit for him offensively.
Competitive drive in me has always wanted to play at the highest level. Colorado's moving to the Big 12, playing the Maui Invitational. Their facilities are out of this world. Coaches have a really good plan for me. Their offense fit a little bit better into my play style as well. Hopefully we can win a lot of games.
Baskin leaves Colorado Mesa as the third all-time leading rebounder, 4th all-time in block shots, and is a member of the 1,000-point club. Colorado Mesa men's basketball will look very different this coming season. It's announced on social media that Elijah Knudsen will be one of several Mavericks to hit the transfer portal. Knudsen posted on X, he'll be hitting the portal, joining former teammate Trevor Baskin, who, as mentioned, announced will be playing for CU. Baskin and Knudsen aren't the only ones in the portal. According to the Daily Sentinel, Mac Reniker, Ethan Menzies, Christopher Speller, Isaac Jessup, Owen Koontz, and Michael McCurry have all put their names in the transfer portal. Grand Junction Tigers baseball team continues on in Southwestern League play when they take on Central tonight. The Warriors were swept by Fruit of Monument last week, but before that, Central was averaging 11 runs per game. Tigers coach Sy Espinosa says the Warriors will challenge their pitchers this week.
They've got some bats in the lineup, and they've been successful. a test to our pitchers of pounding zone and keeping them off balance and giving ourselves a chance.
Tigers and Warriors play tonight and Friday. Tonight's game is at 7 o'clock over at the Diamond at the Bergman Sports Complex. And that's a look at
what's happening.
Brought to you by ComWest, your technology service partner. If you need IT help for your business today, call ComWest 970-242-8142 or go to comwestcorp.com. Should let you know that we'll be on location today from Abday, Cuddlebutt Craft Coffee and Beer, 1144 North 12th Street in Glenwood, right across from CMU. We'll be over there from 9 to 10 this morning. Miles Cochaver, Maverick football coach, will join us. We'll also talk some Maverick track and field and men's lacrosse with Troy Moyer as well. So we'll be over there starting at 9 o'clock this morning, right here on the Jim Davis Show. All right, 7:26. Reaction to the Nuggets win last night. Did the Avs get it done tonight? Did they even up the series against Winnipeg? Reaction to the Broncos' new uniforms. Reaction to Zach Wilson wearing a new Broncos uniform.
Pump it into my veins.
Dexter, call us on the team line today. 970-242-1340.
They're a lot of fun.
The Jim Davis Show.
They're idiots.
On Colorado's sports leader, the team.
Welcome back in, 729. Jim, along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, most trusted name in automobiles. Nuggets go up 2-0 on the Lakers. Jamal Murray with an incredible step-back jumper over Anthony Davis. Time expires. Hits the shot to tie it, Murray does, and then hits the shot to win it last night. So Denver gets a 101-99 victory over the Lakers. And among the things that Mike Malone talked about last night was he went back to win Murray in game two against the San Antonio Spurs, the first time this particular group made the playoffs, and how Murray really didn't play very well against San Antonio. And he told Murray, you just got to keep shooting the ball. Told him he was the future of the organization. And it was kind of like the Colin Gillespie thing last night. It's like, you're going to hit the game-winning shot. Sometimes as great as a player can be, and Murray is that, even though he's yet to be an all-star, which continues to baffle all of us, that as confident as he is, and he's a super confident guy, we know that, that even when you have, you exude that kind of confidence, sometimes you don't believe in yourself. If things are not going well, you just don't believe it that you can get it done.
It can get shaky for sure.
And that's kind of what happened last night. And that he was able to, he kind of shot his way out of it last night. He finishes with 20 points. But Murray is, and people said he is the emotional barometer of this team. He is the guy that,
for better or worse,
plays aggressively, that is capable. I mean, he's playoff Jamal, and when he hits big shots, and he's the guy that does that. I'm not that Jokic doesn't, because Jokic does, and he did last night. But Murray's the guy that, as much as we hail the two-time MVP, there is that thing that Murray has that Jokic doesn't. And it's not that Jokic doesn't have killer instinct. He does. But Murray's is just a little bit different in how there's an aggressive thing about him that's more, told you so, don't doubt me.
Right.
Don't doubt this basketball team. Or Jokic isn't that necessarily.
He's got more of the emotion. Like you said, he's the emotional barometer. For me, this may not work, but so bear with me. Start with the Joker. Joker's a boa. He'll just wrap himself around you and just kind of choke your life out in a manner that kind of catches you off guard. Like, oh, we're out of time, and we're down 15, and this game's over, and he's just out there screwing around and has a triple-double. Jamal Murray's like a viper. He will just lash out and strike at an opportune moment to kill you, and he did last night. They're both snakes. They're both very dangerous snakes, just two different types of dangerous.
And last night with Jokic, who, I'm reading the Post article. It said, Nikola Jokic is overmatched for once in his life. Was he really overmatched last night?
Yeah, were we watching the same game?
Bennett, Durando, I'm not sure Bennett, I'm not sure I watched the same game as you last night.
Yeah, I'm not. No, I don't think so.
I just don't. That's the line of the Post article today, that he was overmatched. Anthony Davis played him pretty much straight up, which he did not do in game one.
Mm-hmm.
But he still had hit a triple-double last night. How is that being overmatched? And
I'm a little lost there.
And watching the game, to get a chance to watch all of it because of the late start, watched a lot of the highlights this morning, got a good chunk of it. I'm not seeing a whole lot of where Nikola Jokic got overmatched last night. He took it to Davis at times. He really took it to Hachimura when he had to guard him. He ate the young man from Gonzaga's lunch. I'm not sure where he was overmatched.
Yeah, I'm not either. I'm with you. Didn't get a chance to watch the whole game live. Caught a fair amount of it this morning, but I didn't see any point where he was overmatched. Like, I know he got most of his work done in the second half. Like we talked about, he almost had the triple-double in the second half. And even then, it was like, okay, I guess he's not entirely... Like, he wasn't as dominating as he normally is, but...
To say he was overmatched for the first time in his career.
And that part's definitely not true.
Tell me what part of 27 points, 20 rebounds, 10 assists leads you to go, oh, that guy got overmatched. Not that Anthony Davis wasn't great last night. He was great again.
I know we're all prone to hyperbole at times. I distinctly remember a playoff series with the Trailblazers where Yusuf Nurkic owned Nikola Jokic for 3 or 4 games.
He did.
He's overmatched for the first time in his career. How old are you? 4? Like, what? How old are you exactly? Like, is this your first day? Because remember Bob Myers talking in game one where he's like, man, everybody feels stupid for missing in this guy. And the play-by-play guy was, well, he was taken late in the second round, so don't feel too bad. Nobody could see this coming.
A lot of teams passed on him.
Yeah. Remember when they traded? Well, it was Nurkic,
right? They traded Nurkic because they tried to play the two of them together and it just wasn't working out.
It just didn't work. And we're like, I don't know.
Because Nurkic was considered the better prospect.
He was more of a finished product.
Yeah.
We're like, I don't know about this.
The Jukic kid?
Yeah.
Jokic? What else?
Jokic? Nikola Jokic? So
it seems like he could be a good little player, but...
He's developed into something absolutely incredible. But, I mean, let's not make it as if this is a foregone conclusion. And now, look, the bloom is off the road. It's like, stop.
And overmatched for the first time in his career. What?
Yeah, that part's also not true.
When he finished with it, to me, when you finish with a triple-double, and you finish with 27 points.
Of not true.
Yeah, and it's 27 points. I get up, he scored 11, and he barely got a triple-double. Got shut down from a scoring standpoint. Still influenced the game, still impacted the game like he always does. But he scored 27 points. Ain't nothing. Against Anthony Davis, who's a pretty damn good defensive player.
He's going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And the Joker kind of owned him.
But then, on the other hand, Davis has also been... fantastic. Let's give street clothes credit. Anthony Davis has been great.
He's the only reason that they've been in this series in any of the games at all.
Absolutely. LeBron has helped, certainly, though he disappeared in the second half of game one. When I saw that, I'm going, what?
Yeah, that doesn't hold a whole lot of water for me.
Yeah. All right, so let's bring some Post Malone, Michael Malone, after the win last night over the Lakers.
He can struggle, he can struggle, he can struggle. He sees one go in, and he is he's never shying away from the moment, the spotlight, and that was just an incredible play. They were smart late. They put LeBron on him. They put AD on Nikola so they could switch. And he got to his spot. And it was great because everybody on the team, coaches, players, all night long kept on telling Jamal to stay with it. Stay with it. We know what you're capable of. We need you. And for him to go 6 of 8 in the fourth quarter and score 14 points was amazing. And, yeah, I called the timeout, the possession before we scored. We got the stop, tie game. Why let them get set? Why let them? Because when they can get set and they switch out everything, you might not even get the ball in bounds. So I want to make sure we could just flow into it and let our best players make plays. Nikola Jokic, 27, 20, and 10. Nothing else you can say about him. I thought Aaron Gordon's defense on AD in the second half was incredible. We changed up some matchups, and our guys did a hell of a job of it. But this is just a great example, Vinny, of, as I told him at halftime, like I did not like how we walked off the court at halftime. I felt like we were feeling sorry for ourselves a little bit. They came in, they were kicking our ass, and we dropped our heads. I didn't like our spirit. I didn't like our disposition. And I told them that at halftime, I said, it's a lot of basketball left. Stay with it. You know, this is a funny business. And our guys did that. And it wasn't just the starters. I thought, you know, the guys off the bench may not have been big minutes, but they all did their job. And this was a complete team win.
All right, that's Michael Malone on the win last night of the Lakers.
Apparently, sports psychologists got a lot of work last night, too. You tell it everybody, yeah, keep your heads up, guys.
Let's go, guys.
Does that worry anybody else? That the defending champs continually have to be told to keep their heads up? It hits me wrong.
Not really. I mean, this became a theme of every single game. You got to tell them that. You know, they were down by 20. They're playing kind of like garbage.
Yeah.
And sometimes, even teams that have won championships, sometimes you got to give them a little, come on, buddy. You can do it.
I am worried about the need for repeated double-digit comebacks.
Yeah, because at some point that grabs you by the boo-boo.
Yeah, that train will run off the tracks.
Yeah, I'm not as concerned about it as you are. If it becomes a pattern, this is the narrative every single time.
Yeah, every single first half, it's like, got to keep our head up,
play
guys.
Like crap. We got to constantly be a cheerleader and, mm-hmm. like you said, sports psychologist. Then that becomes an issue.
Yeah.
I don't think it's okay. After one game where they didn't play very well in the first half, they're really three quarters. I'm okay with it.
Every once in a while, you got to ask if it's a real thing or if I'm just imagining it.
I don't think you're imagining it. I don't think you should embellish it or should make it more than what it is.
Don't but be as bothered by it.
Yeah, it's...
Notice it.
It's okay to acknowledge it and go, yeah, I don't want that to be the case all the time. If it starts, you know, once again, if it's Thursday night and they're crypto and they're playing the same way, and, well, I had to tell them, come on, guys. Mm. You need your guys to say, let's go get it done. Hey, we played like garbage in the first half. That's where you need a Murray. You need Jokic, those guys to go, let's just go do it. Should not have to be Michael Malone cheerleading it on. It should be, they have their own recognition of, yeah, it's got to be better. It's not good enough. Let's go do it.
I heard that quite a bit last night from last night, I guess I should say, with the, keep your head in it, guys. Like, it worried me a little. I don't want to blow it into this, man. These guys just don't have the mindset to repeat. I don't want to say that, but it did strike me as odd that he said it, what, four times in there?
I think it's more of a concern about Murray. That as great as Jamal is, you still feel that guys still have to kind of, come on, man.
Yeah.
You can do it, man.
Little kid glove him a little, I guess.
I don't know. But then he's also such a fiery guy.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like he was ticked. He was on the bench. He was angry. It wasn't like he was sitting there. I'm just stink and I'm terrible. And I don't,
Donnie Downer or anything.
Yeah, he was mad. And Gillespie just says, come on, you're going to hit the game-winning shot. You're going to be fine. I guess if he's mad, that's different than he's down and he's sad and he's like Eeyore and it's just not my game tonight. He was mad.
Oh, bother.
Yeah, I just stink. Why do I even waste my time trying to do this? I'm terrible. Yeah, I I don't. As long as you're not hanging your head and got the dauber down thing necessarily, I can live with that. But again, I agree with you though in that this can't become an every game occurrence now.
It's a little concerning. A little concerning.
You know, they were down by 12 in game one, came back, erased that deficit rather quickly, to be honest about it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't like that. That bothers me more than anything. Stop digging yourselves a hole. Stop doing that.
Yeah, because you're going to run out of time at one of these junctures.
And we're talking about this, and they're up 2 games to none.
Yeah.
And here we go. It's like we're criticizing, but yet here they are.
But it's borderline. They could also be going to L.A. 1-1.
Could, yeah. Very, yeah. Game one to me was not a concern.
No.
Last time, I mean, they were down by 20 in the third. That's but here's the thing. That had to suck some life out of the Lakers.
Oh, 100%.
That's a gut punch. That LeBron and AD and Darvin Ham, that's a gut punch. I don't know if you recover from it. Where you are on their home floor, you're up by 20, and you lose on a buzzer beater.
Mm-hmm. That's a dagger.
That is a dagger. All right, time for sound check.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Well, speaking of dagger, you played the TV version of Jamal Murray's shot to beat the Lakers. Here's what the cause sounded like last night on the team at Altitude Sports Radio.
Three-pointer LeBron. Missed it. Rebound Porter. There's the stop. Over to Jamal Murray. They have to foul. They have to foul. He's at the midcourt circle. 4 seconds. 3 seconds left. Why are they not fouling? Jumper Murray. Got it at the horn. Denver bounced the comeback. They come back from 20 points down. They win game number two. 101 to 99 is the final.
There you go. There's cause on Altitude last night.
Now, why didn't they foul?
They had the Nuggets minus 1.5, apparently.
Apparently so.
Just kidding.
Oh.
I'm a big proponent of that, too. If you're up 3, and they weren't up, but so that may be different, but
yeah,
you're up 3, foul. What's the worst that could happen? They make 2?
Yeah.
And then they're still down 1, and you have a chance to possess the ball. Foul. Absolutely. I agree with the cause there. Like, why are they not fouling? I'm fine with it in the long run, but
The result was perfectly fine with me, but yeah, it's interesting that they chose not to foul there.
Yep.
All right. So we'll take a break, 7:45. Reaction to the Nuggets win last night. Like Buckeye Boy said, he concerned that there had to be a lot of, come on, guys, you can get it done. You can do it. Thoughts about tonight? Did the Avalanche get it tied up against Winnipeg? We'll have some Jared Bednar coming up in just a moment. Also, yesterday, Broncos unveiling the new uniforms. We spent a lot of time talking about it. Probably too much time talking about it yesterday. But we talked to you. Your reaction to them. I like certain combinations. I'm not sure about the striping on the sleeve. Not sure about that. I do love the throwbacks.
Yeah.
I wish they just, let's just go with that. Just go with the throwbacks. But they're
right
not
even. Now, I'm okay with them. I need to see them in action.
Fair enough.
Need to see them on CBS, 225, in the sun. Let's see what
they what's it look like?
Because on the soundstage, with the lighting just right.
Yeah,
there's only one of you.
With a fog machine behind it. And
now, when 46 of you run out in orange over orange.
What does it look like?
Yeah.
And the Zach Wilson acquisition. Got some reaction to that today. People losing their minds like Denver sent the Jets a first-round pick. Stop it. Stop it. Take your phone calls, your text. 970-242-1340.
Yeah, I think they're like the best on the radio.
At least at the pro level, the best of the best.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Yeah.
Buckeye boy. Talked a lot about the Nuggets. Avalanche, they're on the ice tonight after losing 7-6 at Winnipeg on Sunday, where they get 6 goals on Connor Hellebuyck, who's going to probably most likely going to win the Vezina. But Alexander Gurgiev gives up 7 goals in that game. So what about Eustace Annanen? He was ill. He was not available. That's going to be the case again tonight, according to Jared Bednar. Here's some Jared Bednar talking about playing in the atmosphere in Winnipeg in game one. And, well, hopefully they've adapted to that for game two tonight.
I thought it was great. You know, like we were laughing on the bench before the game because, you know, the season can drag. I know you're still fighting for things at the end of the year, but you're really just like, you know, there's big points on the table that you're going after. You're trying to refine your game, but it's hard not to look forward to that, the start of playoffs. And, you know, I love our crowd and the way they get excited for games back at home, but I haven't been in a playoff atmosphere here yet, and that's as good as it gets. You know, it's a whiteout, the fans are chanting and going crazy, and you can feel the energy on the bench. Like, it gave me goosebumps as a coach, and I think the players were all feeling the same thing, and it just forces you to bring your best, and you get two teams that are like fully engaged, bringing their best. It's why watching playoff hockey in this type of atmosphere. We also laughing after, saw a replay on one of the shows of like when we were playing in the bubble and there was no fans, and like just kind of recalling that atmosphere and trying to get up for a playoff game. And it's just like that's what makes playoff hockey the best is the fans getting into it, the city's getting into it, and then playing in that type of atmosphere. There's nothing better.
All right, some more Jared Bednar. This is on Alexander Georgiev and just kind of their mindset after the loss in game one.
You know, like, that's just what it is. Like, if you're dwelling on the past in the playoffs and you're not setting yourself up for success in that next night, and Gorgie's no different. He's got to reset and go play better than he did last night.
No. Can't say more than that. He has to be better. They have to play better in front of him tonight. Where you got 6 goals on Hellebuyck, that's one you got to win. You can't afford to give up 7 goals. And so we'll see if the Avalanche can, get this thing tied up 1-1. And Bednar's right. The atmosphere in Winnipeg was absolutely fantastic on Sunday. Pregame starts at 7 tonight, by the way. Right here on the team, we'll talk with Connor McGahee coming up right around 8:20 this morning. He'll join us from Winnipeg. He'll have the call tonight right here on the team. All right, time to play Wrigley Field, Colorado Sports Trivia. Brought to you by Wrigley Field, your Grand Junction's original sports bar and the home of the 15-minute lunch guarantee. If you don't get your lunch in 15 minutes or less, it's half price at Wrigley Field, just east of Sam Saplesio Field. All right, the question today is a Nuggets question. First correct answer wins. Who was the first coach of the Denver Nuggets?
Brian Shaw.
No.
Oh, Byron Shaw.
No, again, no. Who was the first coach of the Denver Nuggets? Give you a multiple choice here. Larry Brown, Bob Bass, Doug Moe. Who was the first coach of the Denver Nuggets? Larry Brown, Bob Bass, Doug Moe. First correct answer wins. If you won the last 2 weeks, don't play. Simple as that. So send your answer in text only. On the team line, 970-242-1340. Who was the first coach of the Denver Nuggets? Larry Brown, Bob Bass, Doug Moe. Get that into us this morning on the team line, 970-242-1340.
Jeff Buzdelic.
No. No, would not be Jeff Buzdelic. It's not Denver Nuggets coach. Mm-hmm. Not their first coach. The first coach of the Denver Nuggets. All right, Dexter, call us. Reaction to the Broncos' new uniforms. Zach Wilson, Broncos picking him up yesterday in a trade with the Jets. We'll have Around the NFL coming up next hour along with Connor McGahee. Dexter, call us